Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm James D'Amato, your host and game master. This week, we are concluding our Try Guys, Try D&D series. Heroes, we had a lot of new listeners for this series, and I hope that most of you discovered role-playing games for the first time through this. I do this show because I truly, truly love these games, and I think a lot of people would love them too if they just had the opportunity to play. Seeing the Try Guys, especially Eugene and Zach, who had never played before, have so much fun at the table, made me hope that a lot of their fans will be able to pick up games like this after the fact. Here on One Shot, we are dedicated to showing off as many games as possible. Not just D&D, which is the one that everyone's heard of, but hundreds of different games made by independent creators with really unique concepts. So if you liked what you heard here, please check out the One Shot archives and see if you can find a game that you love. I'll recommend StarCrossed, which is my favorite RPG of all time. It's a two-player romance RPG about two characters who really, really want to be together but have a really, really good reason keeping them apart. Instead of using dice or anything like that, there is a Jenga tower that sits in the middle of the table. As the two characters do things that increase intimacy between them, players pull bricks from the tower. And should one of them knock it over, their character has to confess to their feelings. It's exactly the sort of game you play if you love slow burn fan fiction. And we already know Try Guys fans love fan fiction. But I'm sure you're ready to hear the conclusion of their adventures in Snowdonia, so with all of that out of the way, let's get to the show.
This could have been so simple!
And...
Whoa, you sound a lot like Kilometer.
Oh no, that's over here. Yes, I'm up here.
No, okay, that sounds way too similar.
I'd be thrilled.
This could have been so simple.
Their teeth grow into like just horrible fangs.
Oh, no.
And their nails grow super long. And they run over and like swipe at you on your big, beautiful barbarian chest and your half bikini.
No. We still got Spider Carol hanging up on the ceiling.
That's
don't
true.
Know about me yet.
Okay, so that's a 17. That's probably gonna hit no matter what. What's your AC?
16.
Yeah. Okay, so 7 damage.
No, another
21.
You just dipped under me.
Lightning pain like strikes across you, like your heart is overwhelmed. You've associated feelings of like happiness and warmth with rage for years and years. So you're just a torrent of emotional pain. Flashback to Yael, very quick, to your professor. Use every emotion. Burn it like a fire to fuel your axe. Use every emotion.
Take my axe, I dip it in my own blood.
Whoa.
Which a doctor would advise against. But we don't have any healers here.
Then I wield it over my head, whip it around, and come down forwards. A crushing blow against Maledict.
We will hop to that next round. First
round, you're just getting attacked right now.
Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
I'm just hanging like a spider on the ceiling.
Okay, so what we can do here, there are things in D&D called held actions, where when something triggers it, you will be able to act like the way you would now. Mm. So for your held action, you could just say, when X happens, I would like to take my turn. So what is it that you would want to be the inciting incident?
For me to potentially launch a sneak attack?
Yes.
When Mal walks under you.
After I hit him, so he gets
I feel like it. I mean, can it be when Maledict's at a critical point?
Yeah, you can wait. Like that'll have you sitting out of most of the fight if you're waiting for a critical point. Like if you start and like pull an assassinate off like up the top, you could make this a much shorter fight, which could be. Mm-hmm.
Does Maledict have a blind spot?
Maledict is already blind, so it's really up to Carol is when Carol feels
I'll say when Maledict that dick finds himself underneath me.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right when he's underneath me, I will launch my sneak attack.
So Carol temporarily holds. We cut over to Hetankles.
Hi.
What do you do?
Now, I'm not very strong. I kind of think I'm gonna dance.
I do love this, okay.
Hear me out. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna dance, and I'm going to get Maledict's attention. I'm going to trick them into striking me, at which point I will use my hellish resistance and light this place up.
Perfect, perfect. I like that. So you, I think, make a persuasion check.
Okay. I've gone this entire game without attacking once.
You could, I mean, hey, you did attack with that vicious mockery.
That's true.
I almost said, like, with this, I could let you say, hey, you can pull a vicious mockery spell, which vicious mockery is a cantrip, so it doesn't take any of your spells to cast. You could, as a vicious mockery, say something offensive to Maledict to basically grab their attention and have them attack you. So
it would do damage and get their attention.
Exactly.
Or he could also just dance.
You could tell him, pick on someone your own size.
Nice. There's also something called Tasha's Hideous Laughter,
yes,
which would make Maledict fall into a rage of laughter,
yes,
paralyzing them with laughter.
Pretty good.
It's up to you. These are all good moves.
You could also just dance.
The dancing's the funniest.
What? Walk me through the dancing again?
All right, picture this. I'm dancing, doing just like fucking awesome moves all over the place.
Really feeling himself.
Like, just like,
I can picture it.
Maledict turns and is like, what? We're in the middle of a fight and this dude's dancing? I'm pissed off now.
Why would he be pissed off?
Because he's not taking it seriously.
This hot person comes into my cave and just starts dancing?
Doesn't even respect me enough to fight me. He's just going to be feeling himself. Then Maledict's going to swing at me. They're going to hit me. At that point, I'm going to whoosh. Light that bitch on fire.
So, now,
you're doing something that he may just ignore in an effort to get hit and potentially hurt, just so you can use your, like, counter.
I love this plan so much. I don't know why anyone's questioning
it. We talked about this whole journey to be a successful bod. What do you need? A great singing voice? Check. Merch? Check.
Check.
And now, you gotta show them the dance moves.
I gotta bring sexy back.
Let's see it. Do it.
We're going for it. I've used enough magic. 13 plus 8.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
Can we see the dancing?
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nasty.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Very confusing.
Ooh. Whoa. Fade to black on
What's
me.
Happening?
I don't know either.
What? Stop that. Hey.
Oh, and maybe they're going to step closer to me.
There's a dramatic moment. Oh. Stop that. Cut that out.
Come closer. Pay no attention to the spider on the ceiling.
Ooh. We'll have to wait for Maledict's turn for that, but I will tell you, your role is successful, and Maledict will be forced to confront you.
Wow.
Let's cut over to Josh. Josh, you've seen a lot
confusion.
Of stuff go down here.
Okay.
Thank you for encouraging me to do that.
It really fills out your storyline.
Yeah.
This cave is crazy. I think it's time to make a little fire with my hands. I put my hands together, ready to cast Burning Hands, and I chant, fire, fire, rage within me, just as I am forever sad.
You know, chanting.
I aim it at my once lover and now enemy, Mal.
Excellent. This is very good. Roll the damage. That's
3d6. 3d6. Come on, fire. 5, 5, 3.
They both fail. Whoa. So that rules. 13 damage. What happens? This stream of fire jets out beneath you, and it also pushes some of the ruby mist to the side. And, like, burning from behind, you hear Mal scream as they take 13 damage.
Huge.
But underneath the mist, you hear another inhuman scream of this thing that you've been watching from the ceiling.
Yes,
this
Carol's
horrible
been watching.
Plant-like object. Suddenly, these huge tentacles, like, pick up. They're surrounding you, and some of them have been hit with fire and take damage.
I burn the plant?
So it screams, as it's burned horribly with fire, and it melds with a scream coming from Mal. So you have revealed the other enemy in this fight, so I think it only appropriate that on its turn, it decides to target you.
Oh. What about my dancing?
Well,
plants
that,
aren't attracted.
That has definitely ensorcelled Mal, but there's another opponent
in
this
room. Oh, the plant, I'm
this
sorry.
This terrible
okay.
plant.
The plant.
So this plant gets two attacks. It will target both of them at our friend Josh. So I think one is going to miss, because that is a 7, actually. Hmm. Which
you,
still...
What are the numbers?
So it's 7 and a 16.
I'm armor class 14. So
yeah, 7 plus 4 is not going to... 11 is not going to hit that one. But the other one hits. So this tentacle whizzes through the air. There is like this ivory pincer on the end of it. It like slaps on. You feel very little pain. You take 1 damage.
Huh.
And the tentacle is attached to you now.
Oh, I got a tentacle on my arm.
Next, we move up to Edgar. Edgar, I believe you were going to attack with a family attack against Mal.
Family strike. We're all very angry, and we love being angry. Yeah, I run towards Mal. I swing my axe over the head, try and hit him. Ergar whips her double blades and slashes them from the side, and Westgar goes up and kicks him in the shin.
Roll your attack at advantage.
It's way over there.
16.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that plus, 2 was bad.
Plus 6. Okay. So 22.
22, that absolutely hits. So I need you to roll your damage, so your d12. I need you to add a d4 to that for baby kicks.
Yes.
And we'll say a d10 for... Wait, no, it's a crossbow, so a d...
No, no, I switched it to a double-bladed knifey staff.
Okay, a knife staff. Then we'll call that a d8.
This
diamond chip. Yeah, there you go.
So that's all the damage.
So that's all the damage.
Plus four.
Plus 6, actually, yeah.
Plus 6. So. Okay.
Roll those and add 6.
Family strike!
Whoa! Oh, that's a good roll!
15, wow. 18.
18
plus
damage.
6, 24!
Oh, shoot!
Wow.
So this is a massive hit. Your axe swings down. This creature's skin is like the human skin that they still had, like, cuts away, and this green, like, hard chitinous skin is beneath. No! And then, like, the knifey blade staff, as we've referred to it, like, swings through the air, hitting the other side. Ah! And then being held up close because of the knife staff strike, the baby gets held out and just does a couple kicks, like ah, ah, oh, ah! And they stumble backward. Oh, I despise this family, but not as much as I despise your dance. Cut it out. We're doing something. We're in the middle of something. Stop feeling yourself. Who told you to do that?
I feel it in the air, man.
Barry.
He
just reunited with his family that he hasn't seen for years.
I have, and I've taken so much damage. It makes so much more sense as me a being that feeds off of the emotional turmoil of those around me to attack him and perhaps his family, to threaten them and cause them pain. But I'm so I must hit you. I'm so mad.
I'd like to see you try.
So at this point, Mal runs over to try and attack Atankles, setting off Carol's trap.
Yeah!
You don't want to set off Cate Blanchett.
All right, Carol, I need you to roll an attack at advantage.
So 2d20s.
It's going to be 2d20s. This is going to automatically do crits. Yes. This will automatically do crit damage and automatically do sneak attack damage. I just sneak need attack. To check what your sneak attack is here. You can roll it.
Leave it up to the men to cause a ruckus and for Carol to clean up the mess.
Oh, yes. That was so close to a crit, which would have been ludicrous. So
19.
You are going to be rolling 4d6 damage plus the 2d8 from your rapier.
Are you psyched right now?
I'm psyched.
I've never had a character who played an assassin who managed to get off more than one assassination per game. This fucking rules.
Yeah.
You certainly have never met Carol.
So we need to give you some d6s.
Whoa, blue die coming out.
So those are two d6s there. And yeah, we'll grab one.
Do you want one of mine?
And my.
And my dice.
And my.
No, it's too many. It's too many.
Too many.
Give them all of them.
And what do these dice do?
So those are your sneak attack dice. And you should also have two d8s. So
the diamonds. The
diamond, these?
Yeah.
Those are pyramids.
Here we go.
Oh, those. Yeah,
so both of those. So all five. All of that. Time. It's wow. An absurd amount. It's just truly ludicrous.
Dude.
Dude.
Lady dude.
All right.
Dude. Yeah.
For the one who has seen the eye.
Wow. I see an eight.
228 damage.
Is that good? Is that good?
That's extremely good.
Yeah.
Eugene, that is ludicrously good.
That's a lot of damage.
Especially for level three. You take this person all the way down to one hit point.
So Maledict is hanging on by his little dick?
Yes, we could say that. So you drop down from the ceiling. And
by my thread? I don't have thread. Okay, I just dropped down.
Yeah, I mean, we can give you thread.
No, it's all right. We got the legs already.
All right. So yeah, you spring down from the ceiling, like spider arms flailing about, and I think you grapple onto this person. Please describe, what are you stabbing with? Is it gay rights or?
Sexual confusion.
Sexual confusion.
Well, I think we've got enough sexual confusion with potticles over here.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go with my good old standby, gay rights.
Gay rights cuts through Mal. Mal, like, looks at you in the eyes. But you loved me.
I also loved gardening, darling, but that got very boring.
Boom!
Did you say gardening?
Yes, gardening.
Hey heroes, it's James, your game master. Welcome to the mid-roll. We'll get you back to the conclusion of the Try Guys playing D&D in just a minute. Before we do, I wanted to tell everyone what we've got coming up on One Shot next week. We recorded a game called Minimum Rage with the Queens of Adventure. If you don't know the Queens of Adventure, it's a podcast where drag queens play D&D. And Minimum Rage is an RPG love letter to minimum wage workers that don't get enough credit for the work they do, combined with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So our Queens of Adventure run is going to be about a group of monster-fighting drag queens running a ragtag drag club. If you're liking this Try Guys run, you are going to love the Queens of Adventure run. So be sure to subscribe to the One Shot Podcast on your favorite podcasting app and join us next week for Minimum Rage and the Queens of Adventure. And while you've got that podcast app queued up, be sure to add Shattered Sky, the newest actual play from the One Shot Network. It is run by cosplayer, streamer, and storyteller Lauren Bond, and played using the Cypher system with an incredible cast. Be sure to search for Shattered Sky now and listen the day it comes out. Before we get back to the show, I want to take a quick moment and thank some of our backers on Patreon. Otavio Orejo Costa, thank you so much. Erica Belsas, thank you very much. Not gonna say, thank you very much. Whitzy, thank you so much. Michael D. Michelle, thank you very much. Caleb Holmes, thank you so much. Timothy Werner, thank you. Soap, thank you very much. Elisha McCord, thank you. John, thank you very much. Irene Ho, thank you. One Niner, thank you very much. Alexander Wage, thank you. Patrick J. Scar, thank you. And Lane Zah, thank you very much. Thanks again to everyone who supports us on Patreon. This series with the Try Guys is one of my favorite things that I've ever gotten to do, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without your support. If you like this series and you want to hear more like it, head over to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and sign up to give us a small amount of money each month. That allows the network to continue doing things like producing this series. It also gets you some neat audio rewards. So once again, head to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast. Now, with all of that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
I guess I will play to the top of this creature's intelligence.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Now I...
My dancing slows.
It doesn't stop.
Wait, so Mal is invisible.
Mal is invisible.
Keith is connected to the strange plant.
Mm-hmm. Are you still on top of Mal?
So...
That's an easy way to know where Mal is.
No, I think Mal just became invisible.
Mal became invisible. What I'm going to do, I'm going to use one of the legendary actions of this horrible plant creature here to do an attack. It is once again going to be targeting our good friend Joshua. Your AC is just 14, so rolling a 14 is going to be enough to hit you. You take another one damage, and another one of these sticky patches, like... goes onto you and it like pinches into you a little
bit. What is happening? Didn't you say you did gardening or something just a second ago?
I said my ex-husband did gardening.
Oh, far.
You hear echoing about, I'm disappointed that I wasn't able to get the emotions from you that I want, but I will simply share my pain with you instead. You will understand my heartbreak, starting with Joshua.
Who's talking? I can't see anything.
It's me from earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I was just here.
But I didn't know. It could have been a rock. The rocks in these parts are gabbers.
No, Joshua, that was your rock.
I know, but they don't know that.
Have you even gotten the color yet? The crimson's all around
you. I'm attached to a plant. What do I even do?
Paint a picture!
Hatackles, it is your turn.
Little help.
Here's a question. Mm-hmm. If I turn invisible, can I see those who are invisible?
No, there is a specific spell in the game called See Invisible, as much as I want to give that to you.
It'd be cool. I don't know how to do any of this magic against something I can't see. Let's see.
Maybe you can attack the plant.
You could attack the plant.
I could attack the plant.
You could also do some more vicious mockery like you did that child.
Ooh, I could mock the invisible creature because they could still hear me.
Let me read the rules here to make sure. You unleash a string of subtle enchantments at a creature
subtle.
You can see within range.
Dawn, because they do sound emotionally unstable.
Yeah, I can... Let's see, can I use...
Josh's hideous laughter, do you have to see?
A creature of your choice that you can see within range, damn it.
What about using an investigation skill to just see any disturbances in the mist?
I think maybe he needs to attack the plant.
Maybe cut the plant that's attached to me.
Hottinkles, you've proven you're a great bard, but are you a good warrior?
Whip out that scimitar, baby.
I do have a scimitar that we've only talked about once.
I've only used it to threaten members of my own party.
I like the cut of your jib. I'm going to use my scimitar to thwack my good friend Joshua free.
Thwicky thwack.
Beautiful. So you're trying to cut Joshua three, or are you going to attack the plant?
Well, wasn't that one
the same?
I don't know.
They're different actions.
I think you should attack the plant.
Well, I'm pretty weak, so... I think that what I can do, like, freeing Joshua will free him up to do something versus attacking the plant. I'm pretty weak.
I haven't been set. I can still do stuff, right?
Yeah. You're not frozen in place or anything.
Attack the plant.
Maybe attack the plant.
Attack the heart of it.
Killing the plant will ultimately free me, I assume.
Attack it at its source.
I'm going to attack the plant, but I'm not going to stop dancing when I do it.
Ah, it's horrible. I don't want to give away my position, but I feel I must remark on how little I care for this. Ooh, I am dying. This very well could be one of the final things I see.
And then we see more of dancing.
No. Oh, the pelvic thrusting is just so visceral.
It is remarkably horrible.
Ooh. Just wait till I add my singing. That's coming. All right. Rolling an attack. So wait, that's minus two, right?
No. It should be plus two because strength. Minus two is your strength, but your weapon is a finesse weapon, so it goes off dexterity. So just go based on the numbers of the.
So that's plus two, plus three. So that's plus five. Yeah.
All right. No. It's not both. It's you go off the one below.
All right.
Yeah.
10.
That's a 13.
Yeah, 13. Okay. So let's see what the armor class of this.
I'm breakdancing and I.
So So you move in, and these tentacles whip into the air around you, and you
kind of like they're dancing with me.
Yeah, you try to get near this plant, but like that, you end up having to cut through. It just doesn't get through the armor class, unfortunately.
So nothing, huh?
Yeah, nothing. Though you do have bardic inspirations, so those are bonus actions. So you could do that on your turn and enable one of your friends to hit this thing or do whatever.
So I give that to myself or give it to someone else on their turn?
You can give it to someone else on their turn. Like, so if you gave yourself bardic inspiration, you'd have a 50-50 shot of dancing so well that you inspire yourself to
think you should take.
We are going for it.
Inspire yourself.
So it has to be 4 or higher?
No, 3 or higher, because the armor class is 16. He rolled a 13.
You got it. The music is within my heart.
Yes! I love it.
15! 15!
Whoa.
Well, you didn't need to roll a d20 again. You're rolling damage, friend.
Which one? Which one?
I would love if you were rolling a d20.
This one.
Yeah,
this one.
Yeah.
Three! Less exciting!
3 plus 2. That's 5, though. That is, this thing already took an attack from earlier, so, like, you stab into it, and, like, there is an inky, oozy, weird blood that, like, pours out of it. It shimmers in a way. It's a color that you've never seen before.
Beautiful.
But
beautiful.
It's also repulsive.
Oh, it's like, awful.
I think it bleeds like TV snow.
It bleeds hollow?
Yeah, it's, like, really gross
so
and weird.
So unique.
No, at the end of Hatankel's turn, the plant goes again, and once again attacks Josh.
Oh, no.
So 12 plus
attack me,
4.
You coward!
Dang.
That is going to be a 16.
That's another one.
So you take one more damage.
Farts.
A third one attaches itself to you.
Oh, dang.
Where are you at, dude?
20.
All right.
But I got 3 umbilical cords.
You're going to have 3 belly buttons.
Yeah.
Joshua.
It's my turn?
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, attached to the plant, I am going to... Can I attack the plant through the tentacles that are attached to me? Or does attacking the plant in any way harm me?
Okay. Interesting. This is interesting. You have both shocking grasp and an electricity breath weapon.
Yeah.
You can totally electrify this to attack the plant. That makes total sense.
2d6 seems like it's better than 1d8.
Wait, I'm sorry. Does he physically look like a dragon?
Wait, he's been a dragon this whole time.
He's been a dragon.
I so it's like showed you what I look like. I'm a dragon man.
That looks like a beard.
That looks like a man
with a beard.
That looks like an Asian.
That's not an Asian. It's a dragon.
It looks remarkably Asian.
I would never draw an Asian man.
He looks
ever.
Asian. It does not look anything like a dragon.
I would never draw an Asian for fear of what that would mean.
I just have been envisioning a very tall Asian man. Based on your
thought
that
was Asian?
I didn't
see
it.
The hair is kind
Someone
of Asian.
Get a close-up of that. Does that look like a dragon?
The frills on the side of his body.
Here's the thing I love about Eugene. Eugene hears dragonborn and goes, oh, that's an Asian man. That's
well,
just an Asian
you. Yeah, that's
person.
You know what? That's what it is.
Yeah, well, those are like...
Now I see. You're an actual dragon. Okay.
Keith, do you think dragons are white?
No, I don't think they're any color.
Uh-oh, Keith's about to be canceled. No.
He's blue.
Blue can't be Asian?
Okay. I'm going to use...
Keith is a very tall blue dragon.
I'm going to use my breath, my incredible breath.
I just didn't know he was an actual
dragon. Yeah.
I'm going to exhale in a 5x30-foot line.
Very confusing.
So I'm exhaling blue lightning breath at the plant.
Hell yeah. The plant, well, I guess it does have a dexterity save. It's just extremely bad. Yeah, that is 1.
Okay.
It's after the modifier of -2, so it does not move. Roll your damage.
Great. So I do 2d6.
Yes.
9.
Oh, hell yeah. Woo. Woo.
Good job, Joshua.
That was good.
My dearest friend.
So, yeah, like, electricity explodes out of your mouth. How does a breath weapon manifest for you? Is it a...
Oh, yeah. It's sort of a belch.
Yeah. and you can see the tentacles on the plant dance in pain. There's, like, a little bit of smoke rising mm-hmm. from it as it is horribly zapped, which brings us to the plant's turn. The plant is going to attack you twice more.
What did Joshua do to deserve?
Okay, so one is a 19, the other is a 17. Both of those can hit your 14. More sticky pads. It's two more damage onto you.
I got five tentacles in my belly.
And I think that's good. That's enough. It is Edgar's turn. Yeah, Edgar.
Looks like I'm in the Matrix.
I am so enraged by the fact that Maledict turned invisible that I am going to swing my axe in a circle and slowly expand around the entire room, and Ergar is gonna swing her thing around the entire room, and Wes is gonna activate Temper Tantrum, which is where he runs around and just punches everywhere, and we're just gonna try and catch him. We're just gonna try and three everywhere at once.
Yes. Make an attack roll at disadvantage. This rules. You're just attacking the entire room.
You're just attacking
in hopes that
everywhere.
And here's the thing. You just need to hit. If you hit,
yeah.
If you somehow manage to hit.
Yes, Ned.
No, dude.
So this beautiful little family is just like roaming around this room, swinging in the air.
Swinging and not hitting anything.
That is
so funny.
Which brings us to the plant's legendary action.
Legendary?
Yes. So you know how the plant has been going like in between people, sometimes not on its turn? It is a legendary creature. In D&D 5e, legendary creatures are sort of built for boss fights. A lot of the time in D&D, you can get into a situation where the whole party is just standing around a monster, beating on it at once. This gives bosses like a fighting chance to actually do something during the fight. Mm. And its legendary action is going to be Zap.
It's like it's the Zapdos of the D&D world.
It has attached five different sucker pads onto Keith. And electric pulses go through it, causing your muscles to contract in a wild, painful
like
way.
Like a labor pain simulator.
You will know my pain! And you are going to take 5d4 damage, which comes out to 6, 9... 11 damage.
No. Fuck.
What does that bring you down?
Down to 7.
Oof.
I like that you're here, because like the way that you react in the corner tells me when things are bad.
So you.
But I'm an electric dragon guy. Shouldn't have hurt me as much.
Wait, so Dungeon Master, where's everyone right now in this scenario? We have Keith down at 7.
7.
Maledictus is down at 1, but invisible. One.
The Aberrant Convulsion Squid, or ACS, is down to 22.
22.
We've
got 21. 21.
Yeah.
Okay. Same. Yeah, so okay. Not a lot of damage has been dealt out, but that's fine.
Luckily.
Hey, over here, I'm not doing great either.
Excuse me.
I'm invisible, but
there's Mal.
Still part of it. Great, so that wraps us around Mal's turn. Mal's just going to bide their time for right now, I think.
Wimp.
Gotta honor
coward.
Yes, indeed. Oh, but they still hate that dancing. They still don't like it. They don't like it.
Ooh, but I might win you over.
Ooh. It's turning them on in the most uncomfortable way. They just, they hate it so much. Then we'll move on to Carol.
Carol.
Like a Pokemon. Carol.
Can Carol access these spells?
Yeah. Those are spells that are probably innately given to you because of your race.
My drow race.
Yes.
Would either be helpful against
Let's
an invisible
Let's see, what
person?
Are the names of Dance, these spells?
One's called fairy, Dancing Light, and I'm into fire. It.
Fairy Fire absolutely would. Fairy Fire reveals invisible things.
Oh.
Well, I just flipped to this page. Well, looky here. I think I might have to enact...
This is the most Eugene-ass situation that I've ever seen in my life. This dude rolls fire throughout the game, and then in a tense situation, flips to the last page of his character sheet. Oh, the exact spell that I need to get through the situation.
Well, I didn't even know I had spells. Well, Carol is going to take the queerest spell out of the spell book and cast Fairy Fire.
Yeah, wow, what an extremely powerful queer spell. I think that lights Carol up. Carol can now be seen in the room. And Hetankles, it's your turn.
Why, so now Maledict is seen in
Maledict
the room.
Maledict is seen in the room, excuse me.
So it's like
Carol.
A rainbow shooting out of me.
Yes. It's like...
A pride parade coming out of Carol.
A big, like, pride-esque flow of will-o-wisps, like, spews out and reveals the invisible around the room. That's not exactly how fairy fire works for people looking along at home, but like,
but for Carol's, for
shut
Carol's
up. This is fun. This is fun. Shut up.
And where is?
Shut your mouth!
Shut the fuck up.
And where is Maledictus to be revealed?
I think they are probably by the mouth of the cave, just like looking on in sorrow as their plans are like falling apart around them. Mm.
Wait.
Her tankles.
It's coming down to her tankles?
Yeah, it's her tankles, baby.
It's her tankles, baby.
It's always been her tankles. Who among you has upset Mal more than her tankles?
I really wanted to go attack that plant, but I think I have no choice. I'm taking my scimitar, and I'm swinging at that Mal.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you guys could cut me loose from the tentacles of certain death.
I think
it's up to you.
Oh yeah, in between.
Unless you have a dope spell.
In between Carol's turn. Oh no, the tentacles missed.
It's either that or vicious mockery again.
No. You could vicious mockery. Like no matter what you do, is going to be a killing blow.
Wait, so you could just mock him to death with insults?
I've done that though.
But you got
to
kill.
But only to a child.
Yeah, you haven't done it to an actual adult person.
Or adult appearing. Again, it was a goop monster. No children were harmed in this production.
What about, I can also do dissonant whispers. You whisper a discordant melody, difficult for me to do.
Almost impossible for, because you got perfect pitch, so
it's really hard
and
for
what
me.
And what does it do to the target?
That only one creature of your choice within range can hear, racking it with terrible pain. The target must make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, it takes a 3d6 damage and must immediately use its reaction. But also, if I just swing this, I'm like...
No, but this is funny.
This is
you
cooler.
Might not hit him.
This is
cool.
Way
think of the way
cooler.
That you're going to take out the
thing. You might not hit him.
Bat.
You're not good at it.
Guys, all my life, I've been singing beautiful songs, searching for the perfect song that would save the world. But perhaps, instead, I needed to sing really shitty.
With a discordant melody.
Can you even do that, bro?
I don't know. But I shall try.
Reach deep inside, Hatsang.
If it's anything like your dancing, I'm in real trouble.
But you have to do it while you dance.
Oh, please.
Hi-ya! Oh, it was a whisper?
Hi-ya! I think I roll a 5 for the wisdom saving throw, which is not going to get over your spell save DC.
Hi-ya!
So you
sing,
hit.
Sing shittily. Shittier.
Sing, my devil of music. Sing! For me!
That's right, sing for me!
Oh no.
Sing for
is
me!
Is this what you wanted?
I'm the cat!
Oh, the cat.
You're doing the thing I like when you sing!
He's the mentor.
Maybe
it's your Yoda.
Not a, it's
your Yoda.
Whisper, but it's a me.
A yowl.
It's a very haunting tune about a cat
kitty.
That wants some food.
Kitty kitty.
But it's not time for them to be fed, so they're not gonna get it.
Did it work?
Wait, don't you roll?
Oh, do I roll now?
You don't need roll. To roll. I mean, you could roll your damage, but there's one damage left on Mal. So Mal hears this haunting, not a melody. It could never be called that. But these haunting whispers fill their ears. And they are someone for so long in their life or their unlife, they have had no heart. So they did not think it was possible for that to break. But in this moment, you show them that it is. And without even the absence of a heart, there's nothing to keep them going anymore. And they fall, slipping into the mist. And I think there's like, this is a killing blow, but there's a gentleness to it. I think like you go over to them and like lay them into the mist as they are dying in your arms.
And I whisper, good night, bitch.
No.
They try to say, there's something you must know. And their voice dies.
Melly, what was it?
They're gone.
Oh. Dang.
And nobody took one of the cool spells that allows you to talk to ghosts. But there's still a horrible plant in the room,
yes.
And it's going to electrocute your friend to death.
But I am a blue dragon. Shouldn't I have resistance to lightning attacks?
So if it lists the resistance on your character sheet, I wasn't going to hit you with your own lightning.
It does.
Oh, so you take half damage.
I take half damage. So I have lightning damage resistance.
Oh, yeah. So you took half damage from that. So you have than 7 hit points.
Okay, so
but you're still dying.
Yeah, I lost 6 damage out of
which makes me, I don't feel bad at all about zapping you again.
Yeah, that's what I figure. I feel like I got 12 now, so...
Yeah, so zap away.
Is there a point where I'll run out of ability to use this magic?
Each spell you cast takes a spell slot.
Okay.
So if you've got like bubbles on the back that you can like check off. Mm. I think you've cast 3 spells right now. I think you should have like 4 slots. So 10, 11, and 12.
Oh, dang, that's
so
how many
6.
I have. Oh, well, I take 6. You're right. Yeah, great. Thank God. Thank God for that.
So, hey, the tension's back, everyone.
I was at 7, and then I went back up, and now I'm at 6.
Yes. Cool. So, establish the rules that we are following is that Keith is immune to his own lightning, but takes half damage from the lightning of other creatures.
Makes sense.
It's fantasy. Stop asking questions.
Because it might be poison lightning.
Yeah.
It's a plant.
It's plants. You know how plants are. Hey, read your Pokemon. You'll get it. You'll get it. Great. So we are going to move on from Hatankles. It is now... Josh, it's your turn.
It's my turn. I can't do breath again because I have to take a short rest to do that again. So I have...
Why don't you rest?
I can't rest. I'm attached to a fucking plant. I will use... I guess I'll use Burning Hands again. That gives me the most potential for killing,
yeah,
you know?
Power game that.
Fire rage within me just as I am forever sad.
Now, you, Keith, have not been using this because it is a complicated mechanic to learn for your first time, but you have spell points, sorcery points that you can spend. Ooh, if you spend 2 sorcery points, you can cast 2 spells in the same turn.
Oh, shit.
You also have not yet bottled that paint yet.
No, but... Maybe that's a denouement thing. Yeah.
Okay. So, can I do one thing twice, or is it just 2 different spells?
You can do 2 different spells if you like, or one thing twice. Whatever floats your boat.
Well, let's just fucking set this plant on fire as much as possible.
2 hands full
two
of burning hands.
Yeah.
Do it. So, I need to roll reflex saves for this. Plants are very bad at reflex saves as they are normally very stationary beings. So it rolls a 20 on one of those reflex saves. Hey! But it totally whiffs the other one. So one's going to do max damage, one's going to do half damage. Roll it up.
So it's 3d6.
Mm-hmm.
Roll it up.
So this will do max damage. Yes, so that's 13.
And then that's from only one hand because mm-hmm. it's actually 66. So 13 and... 9.
9, and it's going to do half of 9, so it's going to do 5, so it's down. This plant is nearly dead.
Oh, yeah.
Wes.
Make the baby kill it.
It is the plant's turn.
Birthday.
Right.
No. I thought you were going to say birthday.
It is the plant's birthday, so we all need to sing happy birthday real quick.
Okay.
But like we're at an Applebee's, so it's not the birthday song because they could get sued. I think that's a real thing and not mm-hmm. fake.
Not anymore.
Oh, cool. Great.
You can sing happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, we could sing happy birthday anytime.
We don't have a lot of
this
time.
Plant. Yeah. It looks like I can only do this damage through legendary actions in this creature that I've made. So instead, it's just going to try and whittle away at you.
It's taking one of us down before we go.
It rolls 15 twice, so you take 2 more damage as its little
sucker. Now I got 7 suckers.
You've got 7 suckers, which is going to translate to 7d4.
Yeah, that's bad.
That so will please, murder this boy.
Please cut me out.
Edgar, you're up.
I tried to cut you out earlier. We said no.
It's true.
Things are getting real dire here. So we gotta save Keith. I'm gonna take my axe and fling it across the room right into the heart of the plant. Ergar is gonna whip her little thing around and try and cut off tentacles. And little Wesley's gonna rah, 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 rah,
And then like stab it with this tiny little knife.
Yeah, the knife on his rattle.
Yeah, temper tantrum, flurry of blows, and I'm also gonna use
flurry of blows.
I'm gonna have, this is a reckless attack.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm going to attack recklessly, giving me advantage, but disadvantage on any attack rolls against me.
Okay, cool. Yeah, roll it up.
Because I'm just going to just go for it.
And the plant doesn't seem to be attacking anyone but me. So I think you can risk it.
Yeah. It's unlikely that he'll fail, but if he does, Keith is in just a lot of trouble.
14.
He did not fail, okay.
Plus six.
God, what does it look like as your family murders it?
The spinning knife thing is chopping tentacle. My axe is spinning through the air towards the plant. It lands directly inside the iridescent guts with a giant thud. And as the plant is slowly kind of pulsating, breathing, giving its last little light, last breaths, Wesgar pokes it in the eye with a tiny knife.
It's a plant.
It plant doesn't have
it's
a giant.
Plant eyes.
Doesn't have a giant, like.
We can give it eyes. We've got the budget for eyes.
It's got an eye.
In whatever drunk history version of this, I want to make sure there are eyes on there. But not until now. It didn't.
The eyes are good. The eyes are good.
The heart of its eye.
The heart of its eye. Just like, yeah.
What's the. Ned, I love that you're like, oh, it doesn't have eyes. It's heart then. You know, the things that plants have.
You know, it's like a plant. It's like a sentient plant, though, you know? It's
yeah, not, no, I get it. I
Ned
get it.
Stabs like, it in the xylem and phloem.
Stab me, yeah. Seymour!
Oh, that went out, which was possible.
And I'm so filled with rage that as this my axe thuds into the deep, deep recesses of the plant, I let out a scream. Gar!
As, like, your family joins you in this beautiful howl.
Gar, yeah, Ergar's ripped biceps just twirling that little thing, and then Wesley's like, gah!
And the tentacles drop. Like, you suddenly, like, you're on the edge of death, and they drop. You're left in this cave, surrounded by this crimson mist, which appears to be billowing out of, like, one of the holes in the wall of this cave. And left with like confusing pieces of an incomplete picture when there's a flash of bright green light and a huge, just I'm talking majorly big cat appears. As we've said, was it Totoro would blush?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totoro would be totally humiliated as how much larger this cat is. Goes, hello, my protege.
Keith.
My
it's you.
Muse.
What are you doing here?
Hi.
And it smiles wide like a Cheshire cat.
I am here because you've done such a great job. I had you come to this town to be a big hero. And look at what you've done. You have made some very good friends. And you killed a very terrible monster. Oh, poor Mal used to be a student of mine. But unfortunately went down a very dark path. But I see you've kept your heart pure.
Well, Keith, I think there's only one thing left to do now. Everyone, let's dance!
Smash cut to a dance sequence. And this is, I think, an 80s movie style ending, so you're all dancing and we'll freeze frame denouements for you. So please, let's go over to Edgar. What is Edgar's like denouement?
Edgar went on to sell a nice barbarian household in the mountains, goes out raiding small villages with Ergar and Wesgar, and really has brought anger to the household.
So, like, a positive ending for Edgar, maybe not so much for the communities of the mountainside. But that's, you know, them's the breaks with
that's
barbarian.
That's the barbarian way.
We're going to move over to Joshua. It's like a freeze frame in Joshua's dance.
Joshua went on to collect the purest 99% opacity of Ruby Mist. He could not find the 100th percentile, but settled with 99. He still wanders the countryside in his never-ending quest to gain every tint of every color so that he may settle with a perfect artist's closet.
And we move over to, I think, Hatankles.
Hatankles went on to write an...
You're still there.
Yeah,
I'm still there.
Hatankles, you can't stop, which is
once you feel the beat. Hatankles went on to write a concept album about the experience that he and his friends went on. Pitchfork gave it a 4.2 and called it convoluted at best. He unfortunately peaked with his song in the cave and never once found that glory again.
I love the idea that in a fantasy universe, Pitchfork is just some angry farmer who reviews, I didn't like it, it's convoluted. Then we move over to Carol.
As she watches her new friends dance off into the sunset, Carol takes one final drag on her perpetually lit cigarette. As she blows the smoke, she disappears in a poof, musing to herself, everything comes full circle, which is a quote from the film Carol. She transcends...
She says that part too.
Yes. She continues on to defeat evil with gay rights by being transported to another dimension to become Oscar-winning actress Kate Blanchett, where she then stars in multiple films, including Carol.
I cannot wait until we hear about Kate Blanchett slaying an evil person with a rapier. This like pulls out, yeah! Goodbye, everyone.
Gay rights.
So I think our credits roll. It's beautiful. But of course, there's got to be an after credits scene. We cut back to that cave full of Ruby Mist, and we see the body of Mal on the ground, and a big paw comes at it and pulls out a beating green heart.
Soon I'll have enough. Soon, it ankles. Soon.
And like draws the green energy into itself.
So it was Kitty Keith.
Boom!
And now it's over. That's D&D! Your boys did D&D! So much for joining me. This has been an absolute blast.
That was amazing. God.
That was thrilling.
Guys, I'm hooked.
That was incredible.
That was awesome.
It was equal parts theater and fantasy and nerdgasm and sexiness and camaraderie and strategy and math and storytelling and improv. And Kate Blanchett, I'm completely, and I can't stop talking in this voice.
Hey, Dungeons & Dragons, there's a pull quote for the back of your goddamn book for sure.
What was the red mist?
The red mist? Okay. So, like, if we want to peel back the curtain and...
Wait, what was the red mist?
Y'all? I had originally planned a weird pun-filled adventure where you were going after the book of legendary wisdom, which was going to be a record of all of your mistakes along the way.
Nope, didn't do that.
It was going to unleash the hidden power of fucking up at the end, and we'd have a great book plug. But we went extremely far. There was a BuzzFeed pun where you used to work for a vampire who ran a company called BloodFeed. Oh, that didn't work out.
Wow.
But we did this instead, which feels extremely good.
Wait. But what was the red mist?
So the red mist was just like an obstacle that was going to show you some regrets that you had in life and make you like kind of emotionally down before you entered the cave. But that didn't work out, and that's super fine.
Also, the Easter egg was that Snowdonia and the Ruby Mist was one of the cheeses I ate in the cheese video.
So, people who really pay attention.
Why did you say that?
Because that was for him.
That's a delicious little morsel that belongs to people who pay really close attention.
Wow, I don't.
I know.
No, but in the end, the red mist was a red herring for the real villain, which was the giant kitty that taught Hatankles how to sing.
I like to think that the red mist represented love. And it was really just radiating out from the crystal that was holding Aegar and Wesker.
You guys?
And that's how that was their signal to let us know to come find them.
I kind of think the real red mist was the friends we made along the way.
Thanks for watching the Try Guys Play D&D. We'll see you next time. Be sure to subscribe and check out One Shot Podcast. Get yourself a bottle of Keith's chicken sauce, a not too hot sauce for chicken and other stuff. We got new merch. Check it out at tryguys.com. Look at the beautiful, the shirt that Eugene's wearing. We got the beautiful jumpsuit. We got the 80s style Keith shirt. You can get it all here. Thank you for watching.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I really just had the best time.
That was so fun.
That was
so
great.
Good. Yeah. So fucking fun.
If you can get a quick like post thought just of like, how'd you like that? Would you do it again?
Oh, I mean, I played some similar games before, but this was so much fun. It was like everything seemed like it was moving on the fly, and we were storytelling, the five of us in the moment, and there was like real moments of tension and drama and like storytelling where like I felt things and I was a part of it. It was super cool. Super cool.
It was such a great example of like playing pretend with your friends, but now you're adults and you're smart. And props to you for being such an amazing DM and being able to, you know, take all our bizarre our paths and weave them back together, which really shows how if you really dedicate yourself to this game, you were just brilliant at really weaving things together as a storyteller. So I think it should just be something everybody who is a storyteller should do.
I mean, all four of the storylines kind of all came together at the end. That was happening on the fly. That's amazing. That's incredible.
Especially if you don't look too hard at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I came in very skeptical. I thought that D&D had a lot of hard rules with a ton of history that you had to learn because I don't really play games. But I see how flexible and open and creative this space is. I mean, who would have thought that a Cate Blanchett-based character could exist in this universe, but it worked really well. So I think that, I definitely would be open to play in the future. I think even if you have the tiniest creative bone in your body, then trying out D&D or an RPG is totally within your wheelhouse, and certainly a really fun way to express yourself, especially with a group of friends.
I am stunned by how much fun this was. Go get your friends, play Dungeons & Dragons with them. I'm gonna do this again. You best believe that Hatankles is gonna dance again.
I think next time we have the option to cosplay something, we might as well bring these characters to life.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I think you're right.
Oh man, I can wear a tiny leather bikini, half shoulder strap with a spiky guard.
You can draw some muscles on Wesley.
Oh my god. Ah, you know, I love RPGs. This is so great.
You know what is amazing too is that the only limit that exists in this game is your imagination, which means there is no limit. And no matter how dumb we made it, he still made it work. That's pretty goddamn impressive. Way to go.
Do you have any final words?
So this is, I will say, a particular style of Dungeons & Dragons. There are a lot of different approaches to it. If you are somebody who really likes heavy game mechanics, if you're a big board game person or video game person, there's a lot that you could dig into here. I kind of felt with this group, we might be a more story-based, on-the-fly narrative where we bend a ton of rules. But the great thing about D&D and many role-playing games is you can make them what you want them to be. So if this inspired you in any way, some small bit, please go out, go to your friendly local game store, get some friends together, and try it out for yourself, because the most creative mind out there that should be the most important to you is your own. I guess, except for the Try Guys, you should be on their Patreon. But like, apart from that, you should really value your own ideas and tell your own stories.
Just to be more explicit with that, if someone out there is watching and wants a dungeon master, how can they find one?
So there are a lot of cool...
A dungeon daddy, so to speak.
Yes, yes. Finding a dungeon daddy is going to be very different. Don't Google that. Unless you know... Don't Google it, children. But if you're looking for a dungeon master or a game master, let's say fantasy isn't your genre, you want to try sci-fi or Star Wars or like any of the like heavy romance, there's so many hundreds of different genres out there that work with role-playing games. You can go to any game store in your city if you happen to live in a large urban area. They run adventurers leagues where lots of people gather to play these games. You can check out local conventions where people gather to play games. You can also go to websites like Roll20 where people roleplay online. If you're watching this during the day,
By tonight, you can be in a game by heading over to Roll20, going to their Looking for Games forums, and picking up your own group. Or you can read a book and be your own Dungeon Master. It's not that hard to learn because you make it up.
Well, heroes, that's it for One Shot this week, but don't worry. We'll be back next week with Minimum Rage and the Queens of Adventure. In the meantime, if you're looking for another series on One Shot to try out after listening to the Try Guys, I recommend our Kids on Bike series with Patrick Rothfuss. We do our own take on Stranger Things with a crew of misfit kids and their loving science teacher. That series starts on One Shot episode 273. If you're looking for a longer series that you can really sink your teeth into, why not try one of our campaign shows? Like Campaign. Campaign is an actual play podcast exploring long-form role-playing. The current campaign, Skyjacks, takes place in an original setting inspired by the music of the Decemberists, folktales, and classic adventure fiction. Join Liz Anderson, John Patrick Cohen, Tyler Davis, Johnny O'Mara, and Game Master James D'Amato as they tell a tale of daring sky pirates. Also, it's basically an elaborate retelling of Weekend at Bernie's. Just search for Campaign or James D'Amato on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app. As always, we end One Shot with a call to action, and this year is an election year, so your duty is to make sure you and everyone you know is registered to vote. Registering for the presidential election is critical, but also make sure that you're enrolled to vote in primaries or caucuses in your state. Getting involved early helps ensure that the candidate that you're voting for in the presidential election is one that you believe in and trust. So get out there and vote. Thanks, heroes. As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at GameMaster@OneShotPodcast.com. One-Shot is a production of the One-Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.